It's who's ready for a good long sermon?
Amen.
Amen. I couldn't do it. I'd hate to be sitting in the congregation and someone said that to me. So I would like to share just a meditation with you on God's word. So let us just pray. Wonderful Father, we thank you for this time we could witness our kids, dear Father. As we witness them, dear Father, we see you all through them. And we thank you so much that you have made it possible, dear Father, for them to learn about nature and about love and about respect, dear Father, all through your word and your creation. We ask of this now, Lord, that you please be with us as we meditate upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get to a point here. How many people here have ever had a wager? Who knows what a wager is? A bet. Who's ever had a bet? Yeah, I've had quite some bets in my life. One thing that I've come to understand with a wager, there are four points to a wager that identifies if it's a good one or if it's a bad one. Let's go through these four points. The first thing you need to look at when you're having a wager is, what is the sum or the amount of the wager? What is the sum? Is there a lot that's going to be won? Or if there's only a little bit? The second point is, what is the chance of winning the wager before you enter into it? The third point is, what is the risk involved in the wager? And the fourth point is, how much will it cost? So there's four points we want to look at. Four points are, what's the amount or the sum of it? What's the chance of winning it? Is there any risk involved in this wager? And how much will it cost? Just for the sake of these four points, I'd like to have a little mock wager here. I've got a dollar coin. Simple little dollar coin. Now, if I was to invite someone from the church to say, let's have a wager. I'm going to flip this coin and you call it. If it's heads and you call it heads, you get $100. It's pretty good, isn't it? However, if you call it and it lands heads and it actually comes tails, you've got to be willing to spend 50 years in prison. Who's still willing to have this wager with me? I mean, you get $100 out of it. But if you don't get it, you'd be willing to spend 50 years of your life in prison. That's pretty much your life. How many would do this wager with me? How many wouldn't do this wager with me? I wouldn't do it with myself. I'll tell you now. Why is it? I mean, the sum is small. The chance of winning is 50-50, yes? The risk involved is very, very high. And how much will it cost? 50 years of your life. It's interesting. I want to show you the world's biggest wager. The world's biggest wager is basically this. To be a Christian or not to be a Christian is the world's biggest wager. And there's four simple little verses I want to look at. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to ask if our verses can come up to the screen here. And so we can get through this little sermonette here. The first verse we want to look at is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through to 5. Revelation 21, verses 1 through to 5. Are we going to get them up on the screen? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through to 5. We're going to identify the sum or the amount of being a Christian. I mean, it's a wager. I know some people that I know, they still haven't made that decision if they want to be a Christian or not. And it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no more sea. Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit of the great chains in his hands. We can see here that the sum of this wager that we're asking, the sum of it is quite big. For instance, it says here that there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more misery, no more suffering. The prize of this wager is very big. It's worth to consider. Interesting. Let's look deeper into this wager. What is the actual chance of winning this? What is the actual chance? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. And as we look to the screen, we're looking at the chance of winning. I mean, with the coin you had a 50-50 chance. We can see here, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For instance, the Bible says to us here that you have been saved by grace. Who understands what grace is? Grace is something, is what kind of a gift that you have that you don't deserve. So for instance, we've been saved through a gift. The Bible says to us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we've been saved from that condemnation through a gift. What's the actual chance of winning Revelation 21? Quite good. It's actually been given to you free of charge. You've got it for free. Let's look at the risk involved in to be a Christian or not to be a Christian. There must be a risk involved. Matthew chapter 10 verse 38. It says to us here. Verse 38. And he who does not take this cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who loses his life will find it. And he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Let me read verse 39 again. Who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. We can see here that there's a risk involved in being a Christian. That Christ asks you for your life. Christ says, will you please come take up your cross and follow me? So he turns around to us and said, there is a risk involved. The verse that I was looking for in Mark, it says there that the disciples came to him. It was where the rich young ruler came and said, I have given everything for you. What more can I give? And Jesus said, sell all your stuff, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. The disciples were listening and they came to him and said, Master, we have forsaken everything for you as well. What do we do? And then Jesus turns to the disciples and says, there is no man that has not given house, nor money, nor fields, nor children, nor parents in this world that I will not replace two times fold plus eternal life. So we can see here the verse that I was trying to find was the risk involved is basically whatever you surrender to God, he replaces double fold back. Plus, he gives you eternal life. What type of risk is involved in being a Christian? Jesus has taken all the risk on himself. And he gives you everything you surrender to him, plus everlasting life on top of that. Let's go to our last verse today. How much will it cost to be a Christian? John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It begins at verse 16 and it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of us understand this verse? I remember I wasn't even in the church when I first read this verse and I understood it. But the majority of us stop there. Let's go to verse 17. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus has paid the price for you to make that decision to be a Christian or not to be a Christian. There's no cost involved. Jesus has paid the price for you. In fact, Jesus came down in verse 17 and said, I'm not looking where I can condemn you. In fact, I'm looking where I can save you. We can see here, the wager to be a Christian or not to be a Christian is based on what's the sum or the amount of the prize? Everlasting life. No sorrow, no sadness, no sickness, no separation, and no time governing us. We can see here, what is the chance of actually winning this when it's been given to you as a gift, free of charge? You've already got it. You've got to believe you have it. So the cost, the chance is very, very good. What's the risk involved? Whatever you surrender to Jesus, He will give it back to you double fold, plus He'll give you everlasting life. The risk, He's taken the risk away. And the last one, how much will it cost me in being a Christian? Jesus has paid the price on Calvary for you so that it costs you nothing. It only costs you to make a decision today to be a Christian. That's all it costs you. You know, I was thinking about this, and I remember talking to somebody, and they said, as a Christian, I got a peaceful life. I know that as I live my life, I believe that a Savior has came and died for me and has made it possible, has stored a crown of everlasting life in heaven with my name on it. I mean, all I have to do is believe. So that when I eventually go and lay down in my grave and wait for my name to be called out in the resurrection day, I have hope that when I sleep, I will wake up again. And the same man turned around to me and said, but you know what? As a non-Christian, and by the way, friends, I've been both. I've been a non-Christian and I've been a Christian. I am still a Christian now. As a non-Christian, you wake up, you do what feels good. Amen? I mean, that's all you do as a non-Christian. You do what feels good. Your emotions lead your life. And so you try and buy a house, you try and buy a car, you work hard all your life, just to when you pass away, your family and your friends stand over your grave and argue for your possessions. And you've got no hope. You've got no hope of a crown waiting up for you in heaven. You've got no hope of a risen Savior representing you to God in heaven. I mean, when you lay in the ground, that's it. That's finished. That's your life. So what we can see here is, it's far better with this very, very short sermon to make the decision to be a Christian just on the fear fact of faith that you have Jesus Christ representing you in heaven than to live your life, do what you feel, please yourself, and have no hope of eternal glory. I'd pray that you just think about these words as we close in prayer. I'd like to have a little prayer now as we close, and then we're going to invite the Pathfinders up to do a final prayer. I think that's what's happening. Let's say prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this very, very short sermon. We pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, for those who have heard this sermon, that has penetrated their hearts, dear Father, I pray that you'll please turn our eyes upon you and let us just look at the wage, dear Father, the wager, dear Lord, of to be a Christian or not to be a Christian. Let us surrender this unto you, Father, and let us hold on to the hope that you are there ministering unto us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.